The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child who all were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
How are y'all this morning? I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired. I've had so many things that have been going on the last few weeks. How about y'all? We've been doing all kinds of different things, haven't we? I hear somebody. Yeah. Well, I've been doing things like decorating trees and shopping and buying presents and wrapping presents. What have y'all been doing? Did y'all get any presents? Y'all been going places you don't sometimes go? How many times have you been to Grandma's house in the last couple of weeks? Or to a friend's house? You've been eating things that you normally don't eat and then going to somebody else's house and eating some more. What have we been celebrating? Christmas. We've all been celebrating Christmas. Can you tell me why we celebrate Christmas? It's Jesus' birthday. You're absolutely right. And I thought we'd talk a little bit more about that this morning. Jesus came to us as a little baby, didn't he? A little bitty baby. Where was Jesus born? in a stable. Jesus was born in a stable. Can you tell me what town Jesus was born in? In Bethlehem. Think there were any animals in that stable? What kind of animals? Cows, sheep, maybe a mouse or two? Never know in a stable. So was baby Jesus in the stable all by himself? Who was in the stable with baby Jesus? Mary and Joseph. Well, who were Mary and Joseph? His mama and daddy were with him, weren't they? They wouldn't leave baby Jesus there all by himself. Did baby Jesus have anybody that came to see him while he was in the stable? Who came to see baby Jesus? The shepherds came. We'll get to them later. Think maybe those shepherds maybe brought some sheep with them? Maybe. How did the shepherds know to go to the stable? Who told them? The angels told them. Angels told the shepherds, you need to go to Bethlehem because there's a baby there that we want you to see. And then who else came to see the baby Jesus? The wise men came to see the baby Jesus. And I don't know. They tell me that maybe the wise men rode on a camel. I'm just not real sure I could do that. But how did the wise men know that they should go? The star. So everybody had somebody that told them to go see the baby Jesus. And why was it so important to go see baby Jesus? Who sent us baby Jesus, really? God sent us baby Jesus. And baby Jesus was the best Christmas present anybody could ever give us. And why? What did baby Jesus do as he grew up and got older? He did a very important thing as he got older. He died on a cross and rose again on Easter Sunday to save us from our sins. So of all the hectic things we do at Christmas, we go and we shop and we eat and we buy presents and we unwrap presents, we need to always remember that the most important present that we get on Christmas is that God sent us the baby Jesus. Okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for sending us the baby Jesus who would later grow to be a man and die for our sins and rise again on Easter morning. Help us to remember to pass that message on to everybody we know and even those we don't. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for coming up.
Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I have a confession to make this morning. I know that you've already confessed your sins, but I have a big confession to make. I do not like to watch professional sports of any type, especially football, baseball, or basketball. I don't even like college sports. And in some places, that makes one a very unpopular person. I only live 15 minutes from Heinz Field, where the Steelers play. So you can imagine how popular I am when I confess such a sin. I don't like to watch sports because I've always liked to play sports. I get bored watching, but I want to be out there on the field running and jumping, even at my advanced age. But every couple of years, I like to watch particular sports, not the professional sports that we see all year round, but the Olympics. And the Olympics are coming up in just a few weeks. You would think that I have a television addiction when the Olympics come on, because it's really hard for me to not have my eyes glued on that set. And folks that know me well would think that my favorite sport to watch is downhill skiing, because one of my cousins is the gold medalist in the slalom and is scheduled to do the same this year. I'm pretty excited about that. But there's a sport that I like to watch even more. Because no matter what else is on, my eyes are glued to the figure skaters. My favorites of all are the pair skaters with their combinations of strength and beauty, technical precision, and lyric grace. I never cease to be amazed and excited about what they can do, what I wish I could do. Well, now that the Olympics are just around the corner, there are a number of things on television and on the internet that are interviews of former Olympic athletes. So it caught my eye recently when there was a replay of an old interview of one of the greatest of all pairs skaters of all time, Ekaterina Gordieva. And in this old interview that had been filmed, it was filmed about a year after her husband, Sergei, had died, Sergei Grinkov. They had been magnificent on the ice. And even today, they are still my all-time favorites. Don't tell my cousin that, please. Even when they were just teenagers, they had an elegance and a grace that we mere mortals could only dream about. In his early death, Ekaterina lost not only a husband and a father to their young child, but a skating partner. And so on many, many levels, she had to learn to move in new ways, this young widow. In that particular interview, she spoke about how difficult it was to skate solo, how she had to learn all over how to accelerate, how to jump, and most of all, how to land. He was always there to lift me up, she said in her sweetly accented voice. He knew how to present me. He knew how to present me. To see one skater lift another so that the whole world could see the other one's glory, their beauty, their essence, so that all of us would just gasp at such magnificence, maybe as close as we can get to the experience of Simeon, who takes the child Jesus up in his arms and declares that in him we see the salvation that God has prepared for all people. No need for spotlights on this lift, for the light is radiating from the baby himself. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people, Israel. There he was, arms lifted up, holding what appeared to everyone else to be a normal, ordinary baby boy who had accompanied his parents to the temple as had been prescribed by Jewish law. And as with all true prophets, he sees what appears to be the ordinary, everyday stuff of daily life, and he understands God's cosmic dance within it. He sees this little one and declares, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon had spent his whole life looking for God's salvation, and now before his death, he will hold and behold his Savior. He wants the world to know that this one is the one who was promised. And then there is another prophet who appears on this scene, an octogenarian and a widow. She too has been waiting. And what issues forth from her are words of praise to God. She has been alone for most of her life, and in those long hours and years of solitude, she has searched for peace through prayer and fasting. In her devotion and in her obedience, she is given to us as the picture of faithful Israel. And how amazing and almost unexpected that after all these years of waiting and longing, she begins to praise God for the child who would redeem her. Can you see her white hair flowing, aged arms lifted up, and trembling? She can taste those tears of joy as they stream across her face. For like all true prophets, she heard a promise once spoken and believed what others could not see. Not only is it fulfilled for her, it is fulfilled for us as well. This child is destined. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel. This child is destined to know our hearts. This child is destined to be the way through whom God intimately knows each and every one of us. There are many people who know something about the story of the life of this child. Some know more details than others, but many people know the major moves of this plot. One does not have to be a believer to know of this baby who grew into an itinerant preacher who fed the hungry and healed the sick. One does not have to be a believer to have heard of this teacher who spoke in parables and threw the money changers out of the temple. One does not have to be a believer to know that he served his disciples in an upper room and died the next day on a cross. But he did not come into the world that we might simply know about this story. He came into the world so that we, along with Simeon and Anna, might recognize him as God and fall on our knees, awestruck that we could be loved like this. It is for a life of praise that he came, to turn our hearts, our minds, our bitterness, our anger, our hatred, our slavish desires, our wanton lusts, our insatiable appetites, our sneers, our biting critiques, our raised fists, and our vile voices, to turn all of these things in a new direction. It is for a life of praise that he came. Not only that we might know the story, but that we would have no life apart from it. He came so that we might believe in him. Hearts raised high and voices joined in a mighty chorus. So that in the everyday stuff of our lives, and like every widow or widower, young and old, in the darkest hours of our sorrows, we might know that we are not alone. When the interviewer that day asked Ekaterina about skating after Sergei's death, she said, "There is always a shadow with me on the ice. There is always a shadow with me on the ice." "Always?" he asked. "Always," she said. God's love was intended to be so present for us. No, I take that back. It's even stronger. For the one whom Simeon lifted up now lifts us up. The one whom his parents carried back to Nazareth now carries us. For the one whom the Roman soldiers lifted high and nailed on a tree changes everything that ever has been and everything that ever will be. May the goodness of his love flow through you. May the kindness of his presence flood over you. And may the chief endeavor of your hearts be to praise his name. Amen.